Well, open your Bibles if you would. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14. We're talking about a strong spirit. Amen? And we said last week that a strong spirit will get us through anything. Is that right? And a strong spirit makes a way for God to move. We also said this, that you can build your spiritual immune system to such a degree that sickness can't penetrate it, discouragement can't sway it, fear can't stop it, and bad news can't move it, and adversity cannot affect it. So we see in the Amplified Version that a strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? One translation says this, a healthy spirit will conquer adversity. Amen. So a proper diet then, a proper diet is so vital. A proper diet of rest, of exercise are necessary to build a strong and healthy spirit. And so this morning what we want to look at, just for a little while, we want to look at the connection of having rest as it relates to having a strong spirit. We should, of all people, be resting in the promises of God. We should not be stressing. We should not be fearful. We should not be anxious about our future. We should be resting in the finished works of Christ. Stop trying to do what Christ has already done for you. Get out of the trying to get it department and get on over into the I got it zone. And if you will look at the past tenses of God's word, I mean, the haths, I mean, you can get blessed just by reading Ephesians 1 and you can see all that God hath done for you. Look at your neighbor and see, he hath done great things. Ephesians 1:3 says, he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:4 says, he hath chosen us in him. Ephesians 1:6 says, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1:8 says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Woo! Glory to God. Ephesians 1:22 says, and he hath put all things under your feet. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians 2:1 says, he has quickened you. Ephesians 2:5 says, he hath raised you up together and made you to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Colossians says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Woo! Glory to God. No more bondage, no more fear, no more darkness for you and me, for he has already delivered you. Galatians says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ already has made you free. We're not trying to obtain freedom. Jesus obtained our freedom for us. Hallelujah. Galatians says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You don't have to put up what he's redeemed you from. Get on over into the I got it. I have it. It's mine. I have it now. And rest in the promises of God. Yes. See, the Bible says, those that believe have entered into rest. Yes. And so what your faith does is your faith will activate the rest of God. And it will bring you into a place of confident trust and confident rest in him. Hallelujah. There's no rest like he has.
Amen.
So it says, enter in, enter in. See, the rest is available, but it's our responsibility to enter into that rest that he's made available. Resting in his promises. Resting in the goodness of God. You know, last week we had a staff meeting, and we were talking about different things that will help us develop our spirit and for us to get strong spiritually. And one of the things that one of our staff brought up is reading the Word. Is the Word of God important for us to read? Is the Word of God important for us to meditate on?
Yes.
And so for those of you that are not reading the Word of God, no condemnation, just open your Bible and get busy.
Yes.
And there are different plans that you can discover whereby you can read a chapter a day. You can read 5 chapters a day. You can read the Word of God. And we have put on the information table some different apps that you can use. For example, you can use the YouVersion. How many of you use the YouVersion?
Yeah, I like it.
How many of you use the me version? There's no such a thing. So the U version, I listened to that this morning. Amen. I listened to Acts chapter 3 and I listened to Proverbs chapter 30. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, I'm a learner audibly. Yeah. I'd rather listen than read. But you know what? These apps enable you to do the both at the same time and even be on a bike.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And so I want to encourage you guys to read the Word of God. It's life to those that find them. Man's not going to live by bread alone in this day and this hour, but we're going to live by every good word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there's YouVersion, there's Bible Gateway, and there's all sorts of additional resources for men's, women's, and children's Bibles and apps. So go back there and feed on that. Say with me, I'm resting in the promises of God. I'm resting in His faithfulness. I'm overwhelmed by the faithfulness of God. I'm literally overwhelmed by His grace and His mercy and His peace. You know, when Paul addressed the pastoral epistles, and there is such a thing as pastoral epistles, he included mercy. For all the other epistles, he said grace and peace. But for pastors, hallelujah, he said, grace and peace and mercy be multiplied unto you. Well, mercy just doesn't belong to me, but it belongs to all of us. So say to me, I'm resting in the promises of God. Woo, we just covered a lot of ground right there. Surely He hath. Surely He hath done great things. And surely He is doing great things. Now let's look at another aspect of rest. Another aspect of rest. Show me a person who has a strong spirit, and I will show you someone who takes time to rest in the Lord. You cannot, friends, keep the pedal to the metal and expect to stay strong. Can't do it. I mean, sometimes I know the best thing I can do is go to sleep at night. I mean, if there's a lot of decisions to make and if there's a lot of things going on in my soul, the best thing I can do sometimes is say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for a good night's sleep. I roll the care of this completely, entirely on you. I thank you for Holy Ghost rest tonight.
Yes.
And you know, if you'll do that in your life, you'll wake up refreshed. I said, you're going to wake up refreshed. You're going to wake up ready to go. You're going to wake up ready to tackle those things that need to be tackled. Amen. So don't keep the pedal to the metal. Amen. Now in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says this. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The Amplified says, here's what I will do. I will ease and I will refresh your souls. The Passion Translation says it this way. Are you weary carrying a heavy burden? God does not want us to carry any burdens. He does not want us to carry a heavy burden. So in the Passion it says, are you weary? Are you carrying a heavy burden? And here he says, come to me. That's an invitation, is it not? Come to me and I will refresh your life. And I like how he says this. For I am your oasis. Now, what is an oasis? An oasis is where water can be found in a desert. An oasis is where plants can be found. An oasis is a place where people that are parched and people that are downtrodden by the circumstances of life. An oasis is a place for people that have been looking to quench their thirst through the world system. Or other substitutes. An oasis is a place where you can drink in freely of the goodness of God, where you can drink in freely of the water of life. See, Jesus and Jesus only is your oasis.
Amen.
There isn't any other oasis.
Yes, come on.
There's nothing else that satisfies.
Yes, come on.
He satisfies the longing soul.
Amen.
And so let Him be your oasis. You know, you may be going through a difficult time right now. You may be feel like you're parched and quenched by the circumstances of life. But I want you to know that Jesus is inviting to us to enter in to His glorious rest. He says, come unto me. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. He that is thirsty, let him come unto me and think.
No.
He that is thirsty, Let him come unto me and drink. Drink in of his goodness. Drink in of his life. And so we see this in Matthew chapter 11. Let's work with this a little bit more. In verse 29, he says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. In other words, you will find refreshment to your souls. And then verse 30 says this, for my yoke is very difficult. My yoke, I'm telling you what, is so difficult, and my burden is heavy. Is that what Jesus said? Is that the way that Jesus wants us to live? No, he does not want us to live fearful and queasy. He wants us to live light and easy in his presence. So Jesus said, when you're yoked with me, your life will become light and it will become easy. Amen. The Amplified says it this way in verse 30, for my yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh. It's not hard or sharp or pressing. But my yoke is comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. See, we must remind ourselves on a continual basis that he's our shepherd. He's not a taskmaster. He's not going to lay a bunch of burdens on you. He said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Now say that with me. The Lord is my good shepherd. And because the Lord is your good shepherd, you do not have to be yoked up with inferiority complexes. You don't have to be yoked up with a lot of religious and legalistic activities. See, a lot of people, they view him not as their shepherd, but they view him as his, as their taskmaster. And as long as we view him as a taskmaster, what will happen sometimes is we can get on a treadmill of legalism and doing a bunch of religious works trying to please a shepherd who already loves us, who's already for us, who's already cheering us on. Come on, somebody. Who is helping us live this crazy life with his glorious life. So he said, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. See, what the enemy will try to do, he's such a, I don't know, I can't say anything nice about him. And I sure don't want to cuss in church. But he is a major nincompoop. He is el idiota. He's muy loco. He's crazy, Mom. I mean, he is a liar. And he is a thief. And he wants to get an advantage over our lives. He'll take advantage of a person's sincere desire to please God with all of their heart and begin to pressure them religiously with thoughts like this. You're not praying enough. You're not studying enough. You're not confessing enough. You're not witnessing enough. Amen. And the list goes on and on and on. You're just not enough. Well, that's true in the natural realm, but we serve a God who is more than enough. We've got the more than enough God on the inside of us. Amen? Woo, somebody say, he's more. He's more than enough. So if people yield to that, what happens is they start living in a pressure cooker of religious expectations and condemnation. And that, friends, will drain your spirit. That will weaken your spirit. Legalism will take you down. It will drain your spirit. Amen? So what we need to do then is we need to discover the true yoke of Jesus, which is light and easy. I read this in one of the notes this morning from the NLT, and I love how it says this. When he says, take my yoke upon you, let me read this note. He says, simply join your life with mine. Is that hard to do? No. Lord, I join my life with you. And then he says, or bend your neck to my yoke. See, there's other yokes, but if we want his yoke. And then he goes on to say this. I like this. The metaphor of a yoke is that it joins two animals to work as one. It is not simply work or toil that is the focus here, but union with Christ. Hallelujah. Union with Christ. His yoke is easy. Our good friend Tony Cook. How many of you just love Tony Cook? I know you're watching today, Tony. No, he's out there preaching the word. But he's got some excellent books. He just came out with a new book called The Magnificent Jesus. It's a masterpiece. Go on Amazon or somewhere and get that book, The Magnificent Jesus. Isn't it all about Jesus? He's unparalleled. He's unrivaled. There ain't nobody like our Jesus. Woohoo! Glory to God. And Tony Cook said this. I want to quote him today. He says, when we talk about this, we're not saying that you enter into a state of inactivity. We need to make sure that you don't misunderstand this. We're not to be inactive Christians. We're to be active because we're energized by the Holy Spirit, not energized by the flesh. So he said this, when we talk about this, we're not saying that you enter into a state of activity, but you don't enter into a spiritual coma. But you do move away from the arena of being religiously driven and instead becoming spiritually energized. Amen. That's what the church needs today, man. That's what the church needs today. We do not need to be lethargic in the last days.
That's right. Come on.
We need to be spiritually energized.
Amen.
These last days. We need to be not just in, but we need to be all in.
Yes.
Spiritually energized.
Yes.
Doing the will of God.
Hallelujah.
From our heart. Amen.
Amen.
Raise your hands and say, that's me, Lord.
That's me, Lord.
Ooh, that's me, that's me, that's me. So as you rest in the promises of God, as you enter into his rest and you're yoked up with him, you will get stronger and stronger in your heart day by day.
Amen. That's right.
And remember that it's a strong spirit that will sustain us in a time of weakness. It's a strong spirit that will sustain us in a time of sickness and disease. It's a strong spirit that will sustain you when your family's rebelling. It's a strong spirit that will sustain you when it seems like all hell's breaking loose.
That's right. Amen.
The strong spirit of a man.
Right.
So you want to maintain spiritual strength. Now notice with me Matthew 11 in the Message translation. Notice with me, and I want you to read this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 in the Message. Ready, read. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Woo! Glory to God. Notice verse 29. You guys are doing so good. Read. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. The unforced rhythms of grace. Read the rest. Isn't that good to know? I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Notice verse 30. Read it and let's shout. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Woo-hoo. So Jesus, you've invited us to come to you. So we come to you this morning. We come to you and drink. We come to you for refreshing. Amen. He invites you so you can be refreshed. And be saturated with his very presence. So that you can come and drink in of his spirit. And here's the last point I'm going to make today. Man, I'm preaching good. I might be preaching fast, but I'm also preaching good by the grace of God. Are you getting anything today? That's the most important thing. I don't need to be up here for 90 minutes for you to get something. Sometimes you can preach 15, 20, 30 minutes and you can get a whole lot more than you can in 90 minutes. Believe me, I've found that out to be true. I've gone to some meetings where just people, well, never mind. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
On this anniversary Sunday. Woo! Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got up this morning just so happy.
Yeah.
Looking back at 42 years, there's no way that Brenda and I could have made it this long without us learning to rest in God. Without us resting in the promises of God. Without us resting in the finished works of Christ. But He said it is finished! So I'm not going to try to finish what He finished.
Amen.
How many of you intend to finish your course?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good friend of mine said it this way. He said, you're either finishing your course or your course is finishing you.
Go ahead,
and one of the best ways that we can finish our course is to take the imaginations that the evil one brings to our soul and cast them down.
Yeah.
See, we're either casting imaginations down or imaginations are casting us down.
Yeah.
We're either pulling down strongholds or strongholds are pulling us down. But all glory to God, I'm persuaded that in my life, Brenda's life, this staff's life, this church's life, we are not going to fizzle out. We're not going to burn out. We're going to burn on and we're going to make it all the way to the finish line. Woo, glory to God. Amen. So let's be saturated. If anybody needs to live refreshed, it's you. We got the answers, man. We've got the answers. We need to be refreshed so that we can finish these final laps in glory. Amen? And so our last point this morning is this. You will find true rest and refreshment by waiting on the Lord. By waiting on the Lord. One of my favorite verses of scripture is over in Psalm 46:10, the 46th Psalm and the 10th verse. It says this. It says, be stressed. Huh? Wring your hands while you're waiting on God. No. It said, be still and know that the Lord is in control. Find rest. I forgot the word. Da 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 da. I won't be afraid. You are near. You quiet all my fears. Amen. So he doesn't say be anxious and know that I'm God. Be still. We've got to talk to our soul. Soul, shut up. Be still. Be still. Now notice. One translation says, surrender your anxiety. Or let go and relax. The Amplified says this, let be and be still. And know and realize that you're not God. Know and realize that you're not God. Know and realize that He is your God. And has He not brought you through many of years? Has He not brought you through many tests and trials? Has He not brought you through COVID? Has He not brought you through 9/11? Has He not brought you through 2008? Has He not brought you through the Loma Prieta earthquake?
Yes.
Think about all the stuff that we faced in the last 42 years, but we're still here. We're still breathing. We're still praising. We're still pressing. And we're still reaping a harvest for the glory of God. So be still. And know that I am your God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 30 and 31, and I got to read it to you because we don't have it on the screen. But it's that verse where it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? They shall renew their strength. They shall exchange their strength for His strength. Yes. The Passion says this. It says, in verse 30, it says, even young people will faint and get exhausted. Even athletic ones will stumble and fall. But those, I like how he says this, those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh. That word entwine there means get all in the midst of. Wrap Him around your whole life. Entwine yourself with Him by waiting upon Him. Read it again. They who entwine their hearts with Yahweh, I like this, will experience divine strength. Say this with me, as I entwine myself with Yahweh, as I take time daily to wait on the Lord, I will experience supernatural and divine strength. Those who entwine their hearts with Yahweh will experience divine strength. We read a note recently, and Pastor Nancy's got a lot more revelation on this than I do. She might preach it later this month. But one translation or note says, you will grow new feathers like an eagle. The eagle is the longest, has the longest lifespan than any bird. But what they must do to obtain that kind of strength so that they can mount up, so that they can see their prey, so that they can get a perspective in life. In order to do that, they have to molt. And molting means they shed their old feathers. Woo, glory to God. And they grow new feathers. Amen. Well, I'll be 74 years old in November, but I'm about to grow me some new feathers. Woo! Glory to God. How about you? Somebody says, I'm 40 and I feel burnt out. Well, come on and molt with me. Come on, let's molt together. Let's wait together. Let's rejoice together. Let's mount up with wings as eagles so we'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and we will not faint. Woo! I think I'm going to start a small group, call it the molting group. Amen. Glory to God. We will grow new feathers like an eagle. This is what I prophesy over you. This is what I prophesy over the church. We're going to rise up on soaring wings. And we're going to fly like eagles in the last days. We're going to run our races without growing weary. And we're going to walk through life without giving up. Amen. So waiting on the Lord is resting in the Lord. Don't exert, just take in. Put your flesh down and get your thoughts in control. And I close with this. From my spiritual father, Dad Hagen, and many of yours as well, from his book, Following God's Plan for Your Life, he said this. As you spend time in God's presence, ministering to the Lord in praise and worship, it will quiet your mind and strengthen your spirit. We talked last week as a staff about things that will strengthen us. Listen, folks, get an atmosphere in your home of anointed praise and worship. Not so much praise that talks about you, but worship that adores Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Amen. And so he said this, what does ministering to the Lord mean? He says it means to linger in His presence, loving and worshiping Him for all that He is and all that He's done for you. In other words, what He hath done. Yeah. And then he says, as you spend time just loving and worshiping the Lord, it's not so much, it's so much easier to quiet your mind and your emotions and focus on Jesus. Yeah. Throw away those stupid devices. Yeah. Come on. Turn them off. Turn them off. Otherwise, you will be ding-donged out of the presence of God every time.
You have 45 messages.
I'd rather hear a message from heaven than a message from someone that's trying to get me to give them their social security number. Hey.
Come on.
I know I'm preaching good right now. As you spend time just loving and worshiping the Lord, it's so much easier to quiet your mind and emotions and focus on Jesus. Pastor Tom, please come. He said this, take time to let your body become quiet. Let your mind be still. The mind is the arena of faith. The enemy's thoughts come to our mind. Let your mind be still. Let your emotions subside until there's no emotion at all manifestation controlling your thoughts. Once your mind and body are quiet, listen way down deep in your innermost being to what the Holy Ghost is saying to you. Does he have some things to say to us all?
Yes, he does.
He surely does.
Yes, he does.
Isaiah 26:3. It says this, I'm going to keep you in perfect peace. Everyone stand, if you will. Lift your hands up. Thank God that we're getting stronger and stronger day by day. Isaiah, the 26th chapter. I saw something, Pastor Tom, in this verse that really, really helped me. Because I know that this is one of the keys to staying sane in an insane world. I know this is one of the keys to staying stable in an unstable world. It's one of the keys of having a peace that passeth all understanding when a world is falling apart with stress and anxiety. Isaiah 26:3, read it with me. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now notice this. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because we trust in him. Now I looked that word stayed up, Mike. And that word stayed is a beautiful word. That word stayed is not just the thought of meditation, but that word stayed means to lean in. To lean into him. To lean into his word. To lean in that he is your peace. I'm leaning in on him. How about you? Amen. We know that old song, lean on me when you're not strong. Glory to God. Well, if you learn to lean on him and meditate on the word of God, you will be strengthened. Let's sing, Pastor Tom.